felt those hands. It wasn't allowed. Not supposed to touch. Wrong.
Was she on her own?
A man was peering into the ceiling space.
Seems to be on her own.
Who is she?
It's the new child.
The one that's Samuel Hunters.
Yes.
You don't suppose she, the demons...
Could well be. But not on her own, surely.
Should we tell...
I think that would put the seal on things, don't you?
I agree. Better she doesn't hear at all.
But what can we do about this?
She can't go back with the other children.
Impossible.
There's only one thing we can do, it seems to me.
No?
Have to. Can't leave it till the morning. She wants to watch.
We could do it ourselves. No need to involve anyone else.
The man who seemed to be in charge, the man who wasn't holding either Lyra or Pantalaimon, tapped his teeth with a thumbnail. His eyes were never still. They flicked and slid and darted this way and that. Finally, he nodded.
No. Do it now,
he said.
Otherwise she'll talk. The shock will prevent that, at least. She won't remember who she is, what she saw, what she heard. Come on!
Lyra couldn't speak. She could hardly breathe. She had to let herself be carried through the station, along white empty corridors, past rooms humming with Anbaric power, past the dormitories where children slept with their demons on the pillow beside them, sharing their dreams. And every second of the way she watched Pantalaimon and he reached for her and their eyes never left each other. Then a door which opened by means of a large wheel, a hiss of air, and a brilliantly lit chamber with dazzling white tiles and stainless steel. The fear she felt was almost a physical pain. It was a physical pain, as they pulled her and Pantalaimon over towards a large cage of pale silver mesh, above which a great pale silver blade hung poised to separate them forever and ever. She found a voice at last and screamed. The sound echoed loudly off the shiny surfaces, but the heavy door had hissed shut. She could scream and scream forever, and not a sound would escape. But Pantalaimon, in answer, had twisted free of those hateful hands. He was a lion, an eagle. He tore at them with vicious talons. Great wings beat wildly. And then he was a wolf, a bear, a polecat, darting, snarling, slashing, a succession of transformations too quick to register, and all the time bleeping, flying, dodging from one spot to another as their clumsy hands flailed and snatched at the empty air. But they had demons too, of course. It wasn't two against three, it was two against six. A badger, an owl, and a baboon were all just as intent to pin Pantalaimon down, and Lyra was crying to them.
Why? Why are you doing this? Help us! You shouldn't be helping them!
And she kicked and bit more passionately than ever, until the man holding her gasped and let go for a moment, and she was free, and Pantalaimon sprang towards her like a spark of lightning, and she clutched him to her fierce breast, and he dug his wildcat claws into her flesh, and every stab of pain was dear to her.
Never, never, never!
She cried, and backed against the wall to defend him to their death. But they fell on her again, three big, brutal men, and she was only a child, shocked and terrified. And they tore Pantalaimon away and threw her into one side of the cage of mesh and carried him, struggling still, around to the other. There was a mesh barrier between them, but he was still part of her. They were still joined. For a second or so more, he was still her own dear soul. Above the panting of the men, above her own sobs, above the high, wild howl of her demon, Lyra heard a humming sound and saw one man, bleeding from the nose, operate a bank of switches. The other two looked up and her eyes followed theirs. The great pale silver blade was rising slowly, catching the brilliant light. The last moment in her complete life was going to be the worst by far.
What is going on here?
A light, musical voice. Her voice. Everything stopped.
What are you doing? And who is this child?
She didn't complete the word child, because in that instant she recognised Lyra. Through tear-blurred eyes, Lyra saw her totter and clutch at a bench. Her face, so beautiful and composed, grew in a moment haggard and horror-struck.
Lyra.
The golden monkey darted from her side in a flash and tugged Pantalaimon out from the mesh cage as Lyra fell out herself. Pantalaimon pulled free of the monkey's solicitous paws and stumbled to Lyra's arms.
Never, never.
She breathed into his fur and he pressed his beating heart to hers. They clung together like survivors of a shipwreck, shivering on a desolate coast. Dimly she heard Mrs. Coulter speaking to the men, but she couldn't even interpret her tone of voice. And then they were leaving that hateful room, and Mrs. Coulter was half carrying, half supporting her along a corridor. And then there was a door, a bedroom, scent in the air, soft light. Mrs. Coulter laid her gently on the bed. Lyra's arm was so tight around Pantalaimon that she was trembling with the force of it. A tender hand stroked her head.
My dear, dear child, however did you come to be here?